Grace to you
and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It does seem a little empty up front here today. We've had to move the baptismal font because at 10:30 we have a visiting choir. Yes, the 8:30 service got, ripped off again. Sorry. But there's this space and it feels a little bit weird, but here in this season of Epiphany, we're watching in our gospel readings as Jesus is made manifest to the world, from his baptism to calling disciples to delivering the Sermon on the Mount. As Jesus is being seen and heard, he is showing us the love and the care, the wisdom and the presence of God for all of us. And so in today's gospel reading, Jesus is continuing his Sermon on the Mount. And he is calling us to see him, follow him, share, and shine. For the world really needs it. Today, Jesus continues after turning conventional wisdom on its head. Today, Jesus showed us in the Beatitudes last week that the blessing and the presence of God is for all people, even when we are persecuted and we mourn, when we make peace or we are hungering for righteousness. Today, Jesus continues his sermon by telling us that we are the salt of the earth. One question that immediately arises is, how am I, how are we salt? But even more essential is, what does Jesus mean by calling us salt? Salt has always been very important for humanity. I'm sure that many of you have heard that there was a time when a Roman soldier's salary was paid in salt. In fact, the word salary comes from the Latin word for salt. Now, for those of us from northern climes, we also know that salt can sometimes be used to help melt ice. And for a long time, from well before Jesus right up to this day, salt is used as a preservative to keep food from spoiling. But I don't think that Jesus is telling us that we are to be the wages of the world, or that there's enough ice in the world, whether that's figurative or literal, that we should all go about melting it. I also don't think, after listening to the Beatitudes last weekend, that Jesus wants us to preserve what is going on in the world around us. But we all know that the most important thing that salt does, it enhances flavor. It makes stuff taste good. It adds a zip and a zing to things that are otherwise bland. If you've ever tasted a salt-free potato chip or pretzel, I think this is what Jesus is putting us to. Jesus wants us to go into the world and add flavor. The flavor of God's love and forgiveness. The flavor of the care and concern that God shares with us here and always. The world around us can appear flavorless or flavored poorly. And Jesus wants us to go out and add the flavor of his life and living, the flavor of God's grace to the people and the situations around us. But Jesus, how is that possible? How? And I think Jesus continues, and it is possible because Jesus also tells us that we are light. Now, we are not light in ourselves, but we get to reflect the light from Jesus, that light from Jesus kindled by the love of God. Jesus says that we are the light of the world. We are to shine on hilltops, shine from lampstands, not be covered up. We are to make our light shine before others so they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We say that as a baptismal candle is lit to signify one of the amazing challenges and benefits of baptism. We get to shine. God has named us and claimed us. And so we are called to shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. We sing that. But is that light really mine? Growing up in the Lutheran school, we sang this little gospel light of mine so that we would remember as third graders that the light isn't ours, but it comes from the gospel. It comes from God's love in Jesus for all of us. The struggle that I have now is how are we supposed to let it shine, to not hide it or let Satan it out? How are we supposed to go around the neighborhood and let it shine because Jesus gave it to me? And like bringing flavor, bringing the zip and zing to the world, how is it possible for us to be or to shine with light? When do we get to know that we can do that? As Jesus continues his Sermon on the Mount, he continues to teach, and Jesus tells us next that he fulfills the law and we are called to follow him. We don't supply the flavor or the light, but because of Jesus' incarnation, because of his willingness to teach us and show us, to call us to follow, no matter who we are, that's how we get to do all of this. Sitting on the mountain with his disciples, with the crowds, Jesus knew that there were people there who thought that he was there to upset and to abolish the law and really mess with the lives of God's people. Listening to the Beatitudes, the way it turns conventional wisdom on its head, they feared what Jesus was doing and what it would do to the influence of people like the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the temple elite. So Jesus talks about it. He says, "Do you think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets? I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill." In the incarnation, Jesus came to fulfill the law, to finally live as a human being should live, as someone who loves God and loves neighbor. That's the essence of the law. The law says to us that we should live our lives loving one another, and that when we do that, we show God how much we love God. It's not really about how many steps that you can take before you're working on a Sabbath day. It's not really about shellfish or pork, not about fabrics, not even about divorce or the treatment of slaves. The law is about loving one another, and that's what Jesus has come to fulfill. Now, of course, we break the law. And when we do, we are the least in the kingdom. That is where we are when Jesus is teaching us. It's the baseline for the human condition. We are least. Now, whoever does those things will be great in the kingdom of God. And that's not us. It's Jesus. That's where all of this begins. And it is from where our hope comes. Jesus, the Word made flesh, God the Son, the presence of God made manifest in the world, is the source of our light, is the source of our flavor. This Jesus is the source for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. It's not us. It is Jesus. And it is his life and teaching, his helping and healing, his suffering, dying, and rising again that make any of Jesus' statements here in the Sermon on the Mount true. Because of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we are the light of the world, reflecting the light of Christ into dark corners, bringing love and help, and allowing others to see that they too are loved and blessed and and sent. Because of Jesus, we are the salt of the earth, adding flavor to the world around us, the flavor of God's forgiveness, the flavor of God's presence, the flavor of the kingdom. And we add that to everything we do, everywhere we are. Now, this section in the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus kind of teaching us backwards. You're salt, you're light, here's how. But that doesn't make it any less powerful. From the start of our gospel today, Jesus is telling us and showing us the potential that we have as followers of Jesus and as children of God. We can enhance the flavor of life with God's love and presence. We get to shine with the borrowed light of Christ and help to chase the darkness away. All of this is possible because Jesus fulfills the law and then calls us and loves us and forgives us and then sends us out into the world to share. All of this is fit to ponder and to contemplate, but it is also fit to follow and to share. Amen.